Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
So as I said, we're looking at the Creed, and we reach that point where we say, or you say, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Every time, actually, that we take communion, and often in other times, you stand up and say, I believe in the Holy Spirit. And yet I know that when I speak of God's Holy Spirit, many of us want to put roadblocks up. Many of us start getting a bit twitchy about it. Particularly, if I'm honest, those of us who have been around for a while, those of us who have been here for a while, done this, done that, bought the t-shirt, we can begin to get worried about this Holy Spirit thing. As I was preparing for this, in my prayer, particularly last week on holiday, I came to realise that there are many of us who have actually left this part of who God is out of our worship to Him. Many of us who have this part of who God is missing in our lives. And then as I prayed further, I felt God nudge me about actually not just individually being wary of the Holy Spirit, but maybe as a parish, corporately, as a church, as a body of people, we have history to deal with in terms of us being open to the Holy Spirit. I should come back to that a bit later. But for now, let me just say to you, I don't know where you are with God's Holy Spirit. If you're in a great place with God's Holy Spirit, awesome, ignore my next sentence. But if you're concerned, if you're not sure, if you have questions, can I just say this morning, be open. Be open to knowing and listening to who God's Holy Spirit is. Because to say each week, or to say every time we have communion, that we believe in the Holy Spirit and then completely ignore Him until the next time we do that, seems to me to be a way of snubbing our Lord. At the very least, it isn't the life to the full that Jesus promised. But it's not that surprising that many of us might struggle with God's Holy Spirit. Because from the very beginning, people have struggled to believe who God's Holy Spirit is and assume it is actually not God but humans. In Pentecost, we see this, don't we? The birth of the church. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. A wonderful gift that Jesus had promised from God turns up, and immediately other people around decide it's not God, but human made. Because straight away there were people saying, well, that's not the Holy Spirit, that's just them being drunk or being silly. So much so that the Apostle Peter decides to stand up and preach. And he says this, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. No, this was spoken by the prophet Joel in the last days. God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. And he carries on in this sermon explaining, God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Perhaps rather than writing my own sermon, I should have just simply got up and read Peter's sermon to you. Maybe that's what I should have done. Because it had such an impact on those who stood around. So much so that they actually just cried out, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter's response was clear. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord will call. The promise is for you. When Jesus called you, he promised this would happen. You see, the people around Peter at the time were Jewish. They know God. They know who God is. They've known God for centuries. He is their God. Suddenly, because of the Holy Spirit, they realize there is an aspect of who God is that they do not know. And they only can have one response. How do we know him better? And Peter's response is, repent and be baptized. As I've already alluded to today, I wonder if some of us, if not all of us, need to repent and be baptized about our looking at the Holy Spirit, about how we have dealt with God's Holy Spirit in the past. The Holy Spirit has been misunderstood for centuries. It didn't all start in the 1980s and 1990s. For centuries, the Holy Spirit has been misunderstood. So much so that when we look at the creeds, we see from the very beginning that the church fathers have tried to put that right. Even the Roman Creed from 150 includes the Holy Spirit. The Creed of Nicaea includes the Holy Spirit. When they get to the Nicene Creed itself, they realize that people still aren't getting this, and they try and expand. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And then when we get to our own Apostles' Creed, we go back simply to, we believe in the Holy Spirit. It's almost like the church fathers, those who have gone before us, believe that we really needed to grasp who God's Holy Spirit was. I think if it's good enough for the church fathers, it's probably good enough for us. So let me use an analogy. Now, this is a slightly heretical, modalistic analogy, and you shouldn't repeat it outside of this room, but it's an idea of how we can look at the Trinity. I want you to imagine you're back 6 or 7 years ago, and you bump into an old friend, and you start talking about how church is. And you say, actually, we've got a new rector coming. His name is Max Cross. And this person, their whole demeanor changes. Their faith changes. And they start just slandering me. Don't believe that Max Cross. Don't go near him. He's not to be trusted. He's self-serving, hard-nosed, and good for nothing. Now, some of you in the room have known me for a long time, and some of that might be true, but actually, at the time, you wouldn't know. At that point, you've got two choices, haven't you? You can decide, I'm going to have nothing to do with this Max Cross when he turns up. In fact, I might even change churches. Or you can decide, well, I'll give him a chance. I'll see what he's like when he turns up. And we'll see how he goes. It's your choice. Do you listen to other people, or do you discover for yourself? I think the analogy I'm trying to get at here is clear, isn't it? Let me really break this analogy and start with the heresy. Let's push it a bit further. I do turn up and you think, oh, he's okay. He's not too bad. I can cope with him leading a service for me. I'll stay in the church. But then you have no interest in me whatsoever outside of the fact that I lead the service that you come to worship at. You don't know that I'm a father. You don't know that I'm a grandfather. You don't know that I have a passion for surfing and walking. You don't know that I enjoy cooking and hate gardening. You don't know anything about me outside of this church building. Do you even know me? If all we do is come and read from our liturgy about the Holy Spirit and don't seek to know him throughout the whole of our lives, not just on a Sunday morning, do we even really know him? I love what this chap says from the Gospel Coalition. Neil Chambers from the Gospel Coalition says this. He says, I believe in the Holy Spirit is a somewhat understated affirmation of something so central to the Christian life. It's like saying, I believe in breathing. Just as we would have no physical life without air, we can have no life as God's people without the Spirit. When I read that, I thought, that is so true. For the followers of Jesus, for Anglicans, for those who would call themselves Christians, or even those looking to understand God more, to see if it's for him, for them, to ignore the Holy Spirit is to ignore at least a third of who God is. At least a third of who God is. Repetition of a set of words each week without a desire to fully know who God is absolutely missing the point. Don't believe that the Holy Spirit is just for those special people who got ordained or the super holy. God's Holy Spirit is for everyone. For everyone who wants that life to the full. Jesus promised it. We see that in the readings that we've read today. Jesus said, I will send the Holy Spirit for all who are called. Which does beg the question, of course, how do we get that relationship with the Holy Spirit that I go on about so much? Well, Jesus said this in our gospel reading. When the advocate comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. Jesus sent his Holy Spirit to testify about the truth. And he carries on. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. God's Spirit will guide you in truth. He will not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. When we don't know, when we can't find guidance in the Bible, we can seek the Holy Spirit in relationship. God doesn't force you to know his Spirit, but he sends his Spirit that you might have the opportunity to fully know who God is. It's been that way forevermore. You go back to the beginning of Genesis, the Spirit was hovering over the water. God's Holy Spirit comes that we might know how to love one another, that we might know how to love God, that we might know how to avoid sin, that we might know God better. It's always been that way. Our reading is a classic. Our Old Testament reading that Bex read was a classic. Samuel is a young man literally living in God's church, in his temple. And he goes to bed. The busyness of the day, the clamour for his mind begins to go away as he drifts off to sleep. And suddenly he hears God's voice. Samuel, Samuel. But because he doesn't have yet that relationship with God's Holy Spirit, he doesn't recognize it. He assumes it's his teacher. And so he says, Eli, here I am. And Eli says, stop mucking about and go back to bed. When once again, he hears God's voice. Samuel, Samuel. But again, he doesn't know him. He hasn't spent time with him yet in that way. And so he goes to Eli, and he gets the same rebuke from Eli. Go back to bed. Stop messing around. And a third time, God comes in his spirit. Samuel, Samuel. But once again, a lack of investment in relationship from Samuel means even in the third time, he doesn't recognize God's voice. But thankfully, when he goes to his teacher this time, he realizes what's going on and says, go and wait upon the Lord. I mean, I was woken up this morning very early and knew that I was going to be preaching about the Holy Spirit. And I thought, well, I could have just woken up. It's possible, isn't it? But it's also possible that God woke me up this morning to go and spend some time with him, which is what I did. How do we have that relationship? Because when Samuel got that relationship, God used him big time. Well, you won't be surprised to hear me say you just need to spend time with God. You need to invest time. About spending regular time, not just on a Sunday morning, but actually finding time in your life every day to be with God. When our kids were younger, and there was this mantra that used to go around for busy fathers and mothers, and the mantra went something along the lines of, I may not spend much time with my children, but the time I do spend with them is quality time. The problem with that is, it's a total load of rubbish. Thankfully, we had some Christian input from some great people who taught us, Susie and I, that actually quality time is a myth, it's a quantity time that matters. You see, if you tell kids, I'm going to spend some quality time with you, and you turn up on a Saturday morning to spend the quality time with them for 3 hours, they don't know that's not the morning they're supposed to be ill. They don't know that's not the morning they're supposed to be grumpy. You know. But actually, it's about the quality and quantity of that time that you spend with them, that you put in for them. And I don't think that's any different with God. Honestly, every day when I spend time in quiet with my God, it's not glorious, you know, heaven open pouring down on me. I know some of you think it is. There are times like that. But it's the quantity of time. You see, you can't create intimacy. You can't create an intimate relationship. You have to allow time for that to happen. Seeking a relationship with God's Holy Spirit is no different to seeking a relationship with one another. Seeking a relationship with the children. It's going to happen when you allow that time for it. So maybe next time that you have a decision to make, and I'm not talking about just the big decisions, but even the simple little decision, don't do it on your own. Seek God's Spirit. Where would you go with this? You might be surprised where he might go with this. Well, maybe as well, next time that you really need to tell that person in church exactly why they're wrong, you might want to consider seeking the Holy Spirit and asking, is this really what you want me to do? Is this really lifting them up? Sometimes we need to be told when we're wrong. But my observation is generally in the world, people know where they've gone wrong. They don't always need telling by you or me. Next time you're going to grab your phone because you're in the queue, just put it back in your pocket for a moment. John Mark Comer says this. He says that we've lost the ability to pray at any time because we used to do it when we were in a queue at the post office. Now we grab our phones. But maybe if we put our phones back in, if you're really clever, put a reminder on the phone's wallpaper, then that'll remind you, won't it? If you want to recognise how God interacts with you through his Holy Spirit, then you do need to invest that time. But I can tell you it will pay off. Because there's nothing in the world like knowing the God who loves you, the God who created you, knowing his Spirit is with you and that you walk in his will. I can tell you my own testimony is that I have walked in the lowest times of my life, in the bad times of my life, and I have walked in the great times of my life, both with and without God's Holy Spirit. And I know what I prefer. I have walked in the deepest, darkest parts of my life, and yet known God's Holy Spirit is with me. I'm not saying it was easy, but having his presence with me helped. And I have walked in my own power in the joyous times of life, forgetting God's Holy Spirit and not knowing him there. And I can tell you, I knew there was something missing. Now, I would never want to wish bad times on me and my family. But I also would never want to wish all the joyous times to be there without God's Spirit. I want God's Spirit in both the good and the bad. So my friends, that's pretty much where I land with God's Holy Spirit in our personal life. I want to encourage you, wherever you are, to seek more of him. And again, you know, it's the same promise I often offer you. If you want help with that, I'm here. Joe's here. Others around. People that you know. Be honest with them. Say, I do want some more of God's Spirit. It's my job to enable it with you. But before I finish, just briefly as we come into land, I want to speak to you about God's Holy Spirit in Bedhampton Parish as God's people. In John's Gospel, Jesus speaks about being the vine. He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches." He is the source. We imbibe him as his people. "If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown in the fire and burned." Ever since I've been here, I watch you and I see so many of you working really hard to serve God in the parish. And I know that that's nothing new. Some of you have been doing that for decades. And there have been many, many good things that come out of that. Many people who have benefited from that. But if you allow me to be honest with you, I'm not sure that we've seen the full fruit of that investment. I'm not sure we've seen all that God has from that. I wonder why that is. Jesus continues, "Remain in me and my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you will bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." And then he finishes with this, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also must testify. For you have been with me from the beginning." My friends, Bedhampton will not see the life to the full that Jesus promises all the time that we do this in our own power. And I'm not the best person to say this because you know that's a struggle of mine. But all the time we labour in our power, we will labour in vain. We will not see the full fruit of our labours if we labour without God's Holy Spirit. And I wonder if that's what we've been doing. I think probably, if I'm honest, it is. Perhaps we need to repent and be baptized corporately as a church. Maybe we need to repent of our attitude to God's Holy Spirit because of our history here. I think we probably do. And over the autumn, as we seek to put some fat, as it were, on our mission action plan, I'm going to allow some time for us to corporately say sorry and repent to God of our attitude as a church, if not individually, about his Holy Spirit. Because if we can individually come to know God's Spirit all the more, we will fully know God. Those bits of joy that we are told we will know, yet we can't quite grasp sometimes, will come. But truly, if we can grasp God's Holy Spirit as a church body, as God's people here in Bedhampton, we will see his kingdom come.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. subscribe, and join us for more discussion at www.bidhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.